Welcome to the Bank Marketing Show, the podcast that engages and informs you for success in today's marketplace. It's the show that will make you a better marketer with trends, tactics, and inspiration from experts and industry leaders. If you're wanting to impact your personal success and position your bank as the best choice in your market, you're in the right place. Now let's dive into today's show with your hosts, Chris and Dan.
Hello and welcome everyone to another episode of the Bank Marketing Show. I'm one of the hosts, Dan Novalis. We've also got our other host, Chris.
Hello, hey guys. Chris.
And we've got a really awesome and exciting guest today, Emily Mays. Excited to get into the conversation today. I think we're going to span some really cool topics around branding, standing out in your community, and more generally how to make an impact through this banking thing that all of us are into. So, Chris, I know you and Emily have known each other for quite some time. Mm-hmm. Can you why don't you kick off and give us an intro and we'll get chatting here.
And you got it. Thanks a lot, Dan. Yeah, Emily, we are so excited to have you with us today. I have been even with you guys as clients of our agency and having worked together. You've worked with several members of our team over the years. We have always been a big fan of yours and of your bank and the way that you guys do things. So when Dan and I started talking about, hey, who do we want to bring on as a guest of the show to have that really can I think, share some exemplary stuff to a lot of our listeners. And I'm not trying to make you blush, but we know what a great job you do and what a phenomenal person you are as well. So really a lot of reasons that we're excited to have you today. So
excited to be here. Thank you both.
Absolutely. Well, great, Emily. And I know that we have Alabama is one of the state banking associations that we're a part of, and some of our team will be with you at an upcoming event as well. So lots of opportunity to engage there.
Absolutely. That's my favorite part.
There you go. Nice to all be in person.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. So, well, great. Well, let me kind of, for our audience here, give everyone a little bit of background and overview, Emily, about what you do. I know that you're a VP and Chief Administrative Officer and the Senior Marketing Director, lots of hats, right, for Community Spirit Bank. You guys are a $180 million asset, five-branch bank in Northwest Alabama, so not far from us. And I didn't realize you had been in the financial services industry for 17 years. So
yeah, showing my age now, right?
I think it's wisdom and experience.
Never.
Yeah, there you go. Well, and you really have. You've made a name for yourself in the banking industry. You use your voice a lot via social media channels and are a real advocate and are a great educator for the banking industry. I'll say that I know that you're serving on a panel for the upcoming conference and have done a number of those and are really a great resource for a lot of folks in the industry. So great for that. You're a founding member of the Social Bankers, which is a group of community bank marketers across the country that do a lot of idea and experience sharing. And I know that's incredibly valuable for a lot of your group that does that as well. And that you're a social media mentor to a lot of small businesses and civic organizations, nonprofits in your own area as well. So certainly a leader there. And you should have like a Facebook and Instagram, logos on your shoulder or something there.
It's a little bit the badges of honor.
There you go. Exactly. Yeah. So, and I know you've headed financial literacy projects with a number of schools in your area, and financial education is a big mission for you. And so really have enjoyed watching that. You've been an adjunct professor teaching financial literacy and banking at the Barrett School of Banking in Memphis. So your expanse is far and wide here as well. So that's kind of your overview. And as we began to discuss having you on today, I know bits and pieces about your career here, and Dan and I talked about that a little bit, but just give us an overview of kind of what you brought into this, what brought you into this industry, and kind of how did you land here, and kind of how it brought you to today.
All right. Thanks, Chris. I appreciate the highlight reel and everything mentioned there to me is the good stuff. Like that's the good stuff and the fun stuff of banking. I kind of dabbled in advertising in college after college while I was running a furniture store. And then I had a dark segment of life for about 8 years where I was just your typical lender. That's all I did for a too big to fail. Y'all have to edit that out. a little iota in my lifeline there where I was on the dark side. And then I came onto Community Spirit over 9 years ago now. And the marketing door that I'd always sort of been interested in opened back up. And just really thankful for that opportunity and the bank's confidence and kind of bringing in an outsider into the community banking world to land me where I'm at today. And it's just been a great 9 years of learning and growing. And, you know, that's a very dynamic digital world that we're living in right now and great space to be living in and learning in with a lot of social bankers from across the country. And I think that's what makes all of us better is these networks and connections. And that truly is the fun part of banking.
It's interesting. Working with banks, lots of banks kind of all over the place, it's usually the smaller banks that stick to kind of the tried and true, right? And, you know, when I hear a name like Community Spirit Bank, it sounds like a much bigger bank, right? And that's, you know, I think that's a testament to the thought that you've put into it. Like you've developed this brand around what you are, which is, you know, 5 branches in Northwest Alabama. And what I thought was really interesting looking at the bank was a lot of community banks with multiple branches are kind of anchored. Maybe you have like 1 branch in Birmingham that, you know, you expanded. And then the rest, you know, maybe you started in a rural area, but you're really, I know there's like differences in community sizes, but you're not kind of anchored by a really big community, right?
No, we're not. We're actually anchored by smaller communities all knitted together across a wider span because it's like myself, I drive 30 minutes to get to work. There's people who drive, there's not even a Walmart in Red Bay where we're that's headquartered. We have to drive 25 minutes to go to the box store. So, but it's all those little communities kind of knitted together that we've been able to stitch ourselves into and become kind of a recognizable brand. Because we do try to share the good that's happening in all those communities and found a really nice niche that we love to be a part of. You know, it's not your typical, like you said, pattern where typically you have one big anchor kind of then your sales go out from that. So we're definitely a little different in that. We actually do touch over into Northeast Mississippi also, Chris. So kind of over in your neck of the woods and we're branching a little further that way slowly. But that works well when your staff is on your local chamber of commerce. Yeah. You've got the president of the bank who's been on the city council for 16 years. We have a chairman who was the mayor for 2 terms in his day. That recognizable brand translates to recognizable people. And you're representing the brand 24/7. So we like that niche and we've learned to sort of incorporate that and build off of it while we're kind of learning in the social spaces as well.
Yeah. Well, how do you, I had a question around just like, When you're not distracted by, you know, I think what happens in a lot of banks and when you have that anchor, a branch and a big anchor community is like, it can be a distraction from a marketing perspective, right? Or at least like that branch gets all the marketing. But you're so deep in these smaller communities, like, and you just kind of, you went through a bunch of things there of you're, you know, inherently just ingrained in those communities. But how do you use that in social media in your marketing to, you know, make sure your customers, make sure the area knows you're, you know, you have all those kind of tendrils out in the communities.
Yeah. So being so familiar with all of the little communities and markets that we're serving, we can leverage that with sharing their good and being a part of that. So if there's a local festival, if there's a local event, anything with our schools, we're so ingrained with all of the schools across all the markets we serve. And people care about that because the school systems affect pretty much everybody we touch in some way or the other, child, grandchild, niece, nephew, whatever. So we're able to sort of take those opportunities and stitch together more of a blanket approach where it's not just always marketing the bank. It's never really the bank products, but what are we a part of that's happening in those communities? How can we share about the local festival, the local event, the local senior night? Even if we're not, it's not really quote unquote benefiting the bank, except in a recognizable face, a recognizable brand, sharing what's happening, kind of being that good news person, you know, out to the world and broadening their message. And then they appreciate that in turn and help broaden who they call in when they have something happening at the school, with the event, at the whatever's happening around the community. So we're the voice they turn to be a part of that.
I cannot help but almost want to kind of stand up in my chair and spin around, because this is a stump that's Dan and I stand on a lot, is be unapologetically who you are as a bank, as a brand, as a, you know, don't try to behave like the big regional bank just because they have a branch across the street or they're whatever the case may be, but be who you are and be that unapologetically. My gosh, Dan, isn't that, it's just yeah, so it's, refreshing.
It's, yeah, you've summed up, like, I think the main theme of, you know, half of the episodes of the show is just,
yeah.
the more specific you can be, the more, you know, really in tune with your audience, the more interesting it's going to be, right?
Yeah.
So the banks that, you know, banks that have messaging that tries to be everything to everyone, it kind of appeals 20% to everybody, mm-hmm. right? But if you're, you know, maybe your pie is smaller because you're in smaller communities, but, you know, you're going to appeal to much more than 20% of that by doing that. And you're going to stand out against larger competition. I don't know how much like big competition do you have in your...
We have a good bit. We do. We have some regional banks in our area that offer some pretty stiff competition. And I think the biggest differentiator between us is what we do, when we do it very consistently. Mm-hmm. We're not just, like you said, we get distracted by this place or the other. We're very consistently in the space and representing our brand, our communities, the markets we serve. It's not a one and done. So there's not a voice that you see and can't ever get in with the algorithm and reach anybody. You know, we're consistently showing up every day and in those spaces. So, and I think that's a key factor too, because algorithms appreciate that. They appreciate the fact that you're interacting, and that's a normal behavior. So you get the leverage of that by doing that so consistently that people expect it.
And Emily, I think it's really important for kind of the breadth of our listening audience to realize a $1 billion bank can do exactly what you're describing. They just have to work a little harder at it, you know, with some of the elements of responsiveness and those kind of things. But the consistency of message and the consistency mm-hmm. of marketing message can be just as well for a 5-branch, $180 million in asset bank as it can be, you know, $1 billion or even $2 billion bank if they do it and do it well. And again, that's some of the stumps that Dan and I are jumping up and down on all the time and trying to talking about audience and messaging and these things that we talk about in our various episodes and try to carry it forward. And it's so refreshing to see you guys doing that well. And I love that you said consistency, because it's not sticking a post out there that some of our team playing golf in the, you know, American Cancer Society golf tournament twice a year. That's not consistent community engagement, and that's not speaking to your brand, you know. So you've mentioned this, you've touched on it a couple of ways in some of your comments. So let's talk a little bit more about your brand. You know, you guys have, again, that's unapologetic. It is firmly positioned. Talk a little more about how your brand has kind of grown up and is what it is, and then how you carry it out there.
Yeah, and for a long time, we were the old bank. We were, you know, quote unquote, they can't see us on the airwaves, but that's the old bank. But our mission, you know, is to bring new technology, be super present in social spaces, and give us a different edge, you know, that we've really worked hard and are proud of. So, you know, the brand itself, we sort of say we're rooted in history, but we're being advanced. So advanced by the customer, advanced by our communities. We can be traditional, conservative, you know, that trusted partner that you want to rely on, but everybody can say that, you know. So we want to go beyond that, go beyond just saying those things and actually show in social spaces, in public spaces, in media of any kind, you know, how are we actually being as competitive as the big banks, but not just, so we're not just the old bank anymore. But, you know, like people always say a checking account is a checking account, a loan is a loan. Everybody's got that stuff. So unless you've got something that's new for your customer base that you want to talk about, by all means, let them know. But I don't want that static stock image out there all the time. I want to show different ways and different spaces that we're in. And it comes down to just real connection. Who are we trying to reach? What kind of engagement are we getting from what we're pushing out? And how are we truly serving the local communities and our industry as a whole as well? And that connection is everything. And that's honestly what it boils down to, beyond branding, beyond, you know, when they feel connected to you, they'll recognize your brand.
And I think there's a, I know there is, because we work with you in doing so, there is a freshness, a lightness and an appealness, that's even a word, don't check me on Grammarly on that one, about your brand, okay? And it's not that stale, stodgy, haven't changed the carpet since 1978 in the lobby kind of, you know, that I think too many community banks fall into. And it's one thing in your lobby, but where it really matters in this day and age is where you're connecting through your marketing and through your messaging and through all of that with communities. So how are you kind of balancing that and what you're doing on digital marketing spectrums, traditional marketing spectrums? I know you've mentioned several, social, excuse me, but there are some others that you guys are in as well.
And it is just a balancing act. You know, there's always media print that has to be done, your typical collateral pieces in your branches. And, you know, a lot of times we do utilize our A1 agency. Do I call any names that we've been with for years and years, Chris?
you can call our name. That's fine.
Agora Eversole, people like that to help us communicate that message. And I think that helps a lot in... You can't be, like you said earlier, I think, Dan, you can't be all things to everybody all the time, something to that effect. So you do have to bring in support to help you translate that and push that message consistently through all the spaces and crevices that you can't touch all the time. And having that resource to help us have our media, our billboards, our lobby stuff, anything we're doing in print, you know, that's not my fun job for me. So that's where I want to show what I'm doing other places and let an agency or my support help me translate that into those other medias. So we are consistently having a good, consistent message across all channels. We are reaching different people in different spaces and places, and we're not just getting stuck in one lane and maybe missing out on opportunities that are flagging all around us. But it is hard to touch into everything and make it translate cohesively. So sometimes having that support of an agency on record or somebody like that to help you do those is key. I mean, it's just absolutely, because if that's all you're doing as a one-person marketing team, that is one thing. But if you're reviewing your bank's camels like I do, if you are part of the exam team that's got, you know, got examiners in the bank, there's a lot of other fires to be put out throughout the day. So utilizing the resources available to you to get that cohesive messaging.
Yeah, you're not going to come out of an examiner meeting and knock out a couple social media posts, right? You're just done after that. And that's all that, you know, and it's...
There's so much truth to that. There's so much truth to that.
And it's not just examiner meetings. It's the 11,000 other things on your plate. And, you know, suddenly it's been a couple weeks since a social media post has gone out, and then you lose that consistency. And I think a lot of... Not just banks, but a lot of, you know, a lot of small businesses, large businesses look at, well, you know, there's not that much value in each social media post, but there's a lot of value in the consistency and being there. It's like I think you're doing a great job, like transcending there's not like an ROI in like putting up a Facebook post. You're not going to get, oh, you know, here's 11 people that want to open up a checking account. But if you don't have that consistent stream of stuff, people just aren't going to see you as an option. They're going to just assume you're that bank with the 70s, you know, carpet.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So you've talked about kind of your niche and, you know, making real connections. Do you, how do you think about your target customer groups? I know a lot of banks, you know, have personas or think about, you know, potential for, here's a mortgage group, or here, you know, here's our mortgage, you know, customer list. But how do you break all that down so that you can keep making those connections?
Yeah, and I think that is probably one of the greatest barriers, because when you are serving rural communities that are spread out, you know, you do kind of have to be all things to all people some days. You know, you might be working on a commercial, have a lender working on commercial loan one moment, somebody starting a small business the next, and then, oh, I need a new checking account. And so you do sort of have to find a way to communicate in a way that's sort of welcoming to everyone. It's difficult to say we don't use personas, because I don't feel like we're able to drill into that. We don't have this one target. This is our key bread and butter. We want to definitely be talking about 1-4 family mortgages all the time. Number one, because nobody cares to see that. They just want to know you got mortgages, and then I'll talk to you about that when I'm ready. So we don't necessarily have a target customer persona. I've looked into that. I've done classes on that to try to learn more about it. It just doesn't fit. It doesn't fit who we have to reach each and every day across a vast audience. And that's just the nature of the game for us. So it is a little bit of a struggle. And I think we just sort of realized not everything is going to be relevant to all people all the time. But like our digital campaign that's running right now for digital wallets. You know, I have all these comments coming in about, I would never use a wearable to pay for my purchase. That's okay. But this other person might.
Yeah.
So I see Chris holding up his watch there. You know, it's just sort of accepting that sometimes you're going to be reaching and everybody's going to love it, but there's going to be times it's just not going to be that person's cup of tea. And that's okay. But if they're engaging other times when it is their cup of tea, I'm good with that. And I'm okay that you don't want to use your wearable to pay for your groceries. We'll still let you use your debit card for that. So right. That's okay also.
But then on the flip side, there's a, you know, probably equally large group of customers that only want to use the wearable, that don't carry a wallet anymore, things like that. And we're like me, forget my wallet all the time and end up at the grocery store with only the watch. And I'm glad it's there.
And you're glad it's there. And so I think we've just sort of reached the space where we've been consistently doing this enough years where, okay, we're okay with that. You know, and we do have to reach a vast audience. It's who we are, is where we're located. That's how it has to be. And that's all right, that not everybody's going to be into that particular thing all the time. So,
yeah.
And you mentioned earlier your technological offerings, your technology offerings and those modern capabilities that so much of your audience and your customer base does want as conveniences. I think the community banking industry as a whole was pushed hard, like the day after we all hit quarantine, right? And so that's a good thing that can come out of that for smaller community banks that have needed to up their game in digital offerings. And so you've mentioned that about you guys. So do you find that your messaging often, Emily, is around your approachability and the relationships and being the same thing in the bank that you see us on social media, et cetera, but also being able to act like the big boys in provision of services, so to speak. Talk about that a little bit.
I think so. I think you've got to make sure people know that you do have the same capabilities. And that's where, you know, you do have to truly be an ad in some ways, you know, where it's much more fun to be community engagement, market engagement. But you do have to let them know, hey, you can use your wearable to pay for your groceries. You can make your deposit at the ATM when the bank's closed. You can P2P whoever you need to 24/7. Do that mobile deposit. You know, you do have to sort of take that time and have that edge out there letting them know, but it's do it in a fun way. In ads that represent a fun breath of fresh air, like you were talking about, Chris, earlier, finding that way to say it in a way that makes it attractive, easy to understand. It's not just a stock, or do a video. I've taken, you know, a teller out to the ATM and like made videos and shown how to use the new machines. And, you know, it doesn't have to just be a black and white post or a black and white ad in the paper that says, we now have this. We now have that.
A checking account is a financial device.
Exactly.
We've talked on the show a lot about that. I like to use the example like open an account online. Like it's something that the average person spends 10 seconds a year thinking about. But when a bank has the new feature, you know, lots of banks love to promote it. But I like make the argument of like, if you're taking up most of your homepage real estate to like promote that, it almost makes you seem stodgier because the big banks have had that for 20 years. So I think like your example there of making a video and just instead of saying, here is an ATM. You can deposit a check in it. You take a teller out, you make a video, you make it compelling, entertaining, you know, dare I say, funny. There are some, you know, funny videos out there. And I think that's a great way to, you know, you're like you said earlier, you're connecting while you're educating.
Well, and they love that teller. That's the teller they see at three different branches when they go in, because she's a floater. So she's around everywhere. She's fun. She's in, you know, her late 20s and she's cool and fun to talk with on video. So just taking that and making that experience of off to letting the public know what the new offering is in a totally different way than just like you said, hey, now we have, you know, lots of big banks have had deposit taking ATMs for a long time just because we just got it 3 years ago, you know, but we still got to talk about it. So how can we do that in a way that's more effective?
Yeah. And I think, and in social media too, like the posts that work, everything on social media is trending to, you know, user generated content, and Facebook's going to start looking a lot more like TikTok over the next couple months. And, you know, banks that can right now figure out a way to give your messages through real people versus, you know, stock images versus text or graphics based posts. You know, that's the real people stuff is going to be a lot more important. Sure. It's already pretty important, but it's only getting more so. Like people want to engage with people.
Yeah. Emily, one of the things that we like to try to be around for this show is not only to help our listeners in their careers, in their career process, and help their companies, their banks, their careers, and all that kind of stuff, but there's also our humanness and who we are and what we do, and that what we do actually matters. And I see that the work that you do and your team does, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I've seen, and you were talking about this a minute ago, I think it flows upstream in your bank because you aren't coming up with this crafty, appealing, fresh, community-focused messaging, and then behind the curtain, it's a bunch of bored people out smoking Marlboros out back. It's not that. You guys have this, you know, this dynamic team and all that. So I think that that brand face that you've helped build has also flowed upstream internally. Would you say that's the case with your team? And what kind of an upstream impact has it had under the roof of your bank?
I would say yes, and very blessed that we have a dynamic executive management team that is already all in with these concepts. That is not the case for many bankers, many marketers. And I can't tell you how many, you know, roundtables I've been at and things like that, and people can't even have Twitter or Facebook. And I can't even understand that, because we've just always had such a mindset of we've got to be in these spaces. So what's the next space we're going to be in? How are we going to get there? And since we've been doing that so long, and management's always been so supportive, even our board of directors, and some of our directors have been on our board for 40 plus years. So they still don't ever question in a negative light what we're going to attempt next. And why that, you know, if we say it's important, have compliance involved, have the blessings, all the blessings that you need, they're definitely on board with that. And it channels all across bank-wide to the team. So they know to expect this type of behavior. They know if Emily comes with the tripod and the phone sticking on it, we're about to do a video in the lobby. And that's what we're doing this afternoon. So everybody get your lipstick touched up or whatever. You know, and like you said, it just sort of translates. I don't think we had to push it hard to go upstream, but it just sort of became a natural status quo for us that this is, you know, kind of just who we are, and this is what we do day to day. And everybody just has already ingrained with that mentality.
I think that's a really cool part of marketing, that it is not just about data measurable ROI out there, you know, in the dollars and cents and commas and zeros. It is also about, you know, transmitting that true personality of your people.
Absolutely.
You're not making it up. It's real.
Yeah, it truly is. And we love the analytics. We love the engagement. We love to share those stats with the committees, the boards, the powers that be, to show that impact, because you can't measure a handshake. You can't measure certain things, but that feeling, that connection is real.
Yeah, I was talking to a a different bank recently, who kind of is the opposite, you know, is at the opposite stage of you where they haven't had a social media presence, right? They have lots of branches. They have a strong business, but, you know, we were trying to kind of explain what you just said of, you know, you can't kind of quantify the actual handshakes you've gotten from marketing, but, you know, without the marketing, you're not going to have that brand presence, mm-hmm. right? They, you know, they've had a branch in a town for, I think, 4 or 5 years, and you could go around and like, nobody knows who they are. You know, businesses across the street don't know who the bank is. So, you know, it may not be able to quantify every single thing that you do on the marketing front, but it's easy to kind of think about without it, you're definitely not building that brand awareness.
Absolutely. And it's hard enough when you're present in the spaces. And so I can't imagine not having any presence, how difficult that is.
Yeah.
Well, Dan, I warned you. I told you Emily was so fun to talk to, and it's got such a wealth of information about this, you know, that we'd be like, okay, can we just talk about 6 more things instead of, you know, so, yeah.
For sure. Well, I'm curious, Emily, like, we've talked a lot about kind of what you've seen at the bank over the last 9 years since you've been there, your kind of tenure in the financial services space. But, you know, can you talk about like what's different now, right, around marketing? Like, what are you doing? How are you thinking generally, you know, if between digital and local and branding stuff, you know, now versus, you know, versus a few years ago? What kind of, can you share some learnings that might help other community banks in a similar situation?
Yeah, absolutely. I think for us now, we think a lot more of how differently to translate our budget. Number one, you know, how it's not just this much for promotional items. This much is for, other public relations and other things like that. We really have to think about how much are we investing in digital, because there has to be an investment now. Everything can't be organic any longer. We've lost those glory days of truly organic, and you didn't have to have, you know, money behind different things. So really looking at the budget and how to diversify and allocate for each thing that's important to us now, because, you know, we've been doing it long enough that we feel like we've done some cool things. We know what we like. We know what translated well. So how do we make sure we're reserving for those things, but we're also still able to sponsor the schools? We're able to make those investments in financial literacy, and all those different components that those, you know, different groups depend on to have the bank support still. But we've got to allocate that budget a little bit differently. And just something else through the years, I think my favorite piece of advice is just don't get so caught up in analysis paralysis that you do nothing. You know, the expression, it's better to make for forgiveness than ask for permission sometimes. I guess you can, you know, as long as you're doing that safely, because you are a bank, don't get so caught up in analyzing what is the return going to be, how can I quantify this or that, that you end up letting opportunities and moments pass you by. If you can jump on something that's exciting on social media, for example, and be a part of something that's happening there, the bank can somehow take part in that, like the Little Miss memes campaign. I don't know if y'all have seen these. It's been a huge thing, the Little Miss this, Little Miss that. So I had to create our own Little Miss Community Banking, Little Miss this. And it's a trend, but it's a fun trend. And it didn't represent any banking products, but it represented who the bank is and loving their community, supporting industry advocacy efforts. So finding a way to jump on something like that that's trending and fun, and not getting so caught up in analysis that you just end up doing nothing. And I think that's the worst thing you can do. Spin your wheels.
Yeah, like need to schedule a meeting with compliance a week out to see if you can get on the trend, and then you miss it.
Yeah, it's not going to hurt the bank if the compliance officer comes back later and says, I don't understand why we did that. Well, did it hurt compliance? I didn't talk about a product. I didn't talk about a rate. I didn't talk about a service. You know, I'm not telling people to not okay things with their compliance officers. I share a wall with mine. She can probably hear me right now. You got to have the knowledge and experience to know the difference, but don't get so caught up. And I think that is sort of where being a smaller institution, marketing a smaller institution, we get to be more nimble. And that's just a luxury to me, because you can act much faster. This doesn't have to go through 5 people. If Emily approves it, it's going out, you know. So being able to use that nimbleness to our advantage and not getting so caught up in analyzing what's the end result going to be, that nothing happens at all.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think those are some great nuggets there, Emily, and things that, again, even banks of various sizes can use, you know, those approaches. So you've talked a lot about your bank brand and personality, the channels that you guys have used and some of the things that you've learned over the years and some of the newer things that you're doing. So I think this is and differentiation and how that works. And you actually used the word at least two, if not three times, about sharing good. And, you know, again, even as a bank, that may not be who we as community members and people think about openly as, you know, a source of something that I see on my feed and it actually makes me smile. Yeah. It makes me feel good. It's not trying to sell me, you know, a push a CD rate. And that's such a drastically different discussion and way to appeal. So I've heard a lot of that from you as well. And I know our team really enjoys helping you support that. So that's and Emily, that may not be something that you hear often enough in our industry to actually share the good, right?
Right, exactly. It's not as often out there as you would like to see it. And I think during the pandemic, we really started honing in on that particular caveat of our messaging and just obviously where we were in the pandemic and things like that. You know, we saw the return on that was something good for the bank, you know, and people appreciated that. And that still continues through today, you know, just in different ways. So,
yeah, that's so great. Well, thanks so much for all of this. We really could go on for a really long period of time discussing this, but it's been great to have your thoughts and input and your guideline, and looking forward to hearing more of your expertise on the panel coming up at the upcoming conference and all that too. So certainly great to have you, Emily.
Yes, great. I enjoyed it so much. Great to talk with you both today.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if you could stick around for just a couple of minutes, we like to do our lightning round when we have guests come on as well. So we've got some fun ones for you.
Sounds great.
Awesome. All right. So share with us, if you will, a personal best and a business best.
Personal best is probably getting the chief administrative officer role before 40, which happened a few years ago for me. And that was a big milestone goal for myself, was to hit that C letter in my title. Yeah. I've always been career driven. So hitting that before 40 was the goal. And thankfully the Lord blessed and was able to achieve that. So business best, I would have to say, is probably the response we get from community, industry, peers, customers who are not even customers yet, when they tell me they feel like they know our brand and they've never even been inside our bank. But they tell me I would want to bank with you if I could, but I'm across the country. Or if I was going to work at any other bank, I would want to work at your bank. And that to me is the truth in the message. And that tells me that we're doing what we need to be doing.
That's great stuff. Well, good. Thank you. Thank you. One of the others we'd like to ask is, do you have a favorite book that comes to mind or resource?
I do. My favorite book is Make Your Bed, Little Things That Can Change Your Life and Maybe the World. If you haven't read it, I'll send you both a copy. But it's a great book and it's a leadership book. We've done it, the whole book, with our leadership team. It's fantastic.
Sounds great. I'm not familiar with it. So, Dan, we're going to have to brush up.
Yeah.
YouTube videos coming your way after this, Gus.
All right. I'll have to start practicing my hospital corners on the bed.
There you go. Well, and we will share a link to that with all the listeners as well, too, Emily. So
okay, good.
That's great. Yeah. All right. So what is maybe a very impactful piece of advice that you've gotten that comes to mind?
My favorite, I have it all across in my office, is be where your feet are. So I heard that at a leadership conference once, and whether you're at church, you're at home, you're at work with your children, be where your feet are, be present with who you're with.
I heard that on a different podcast a couple months ago. And I've been that's been in bouncing around my mind for that time too. It's such a great like phrase to come back to when you're, you know, stressed or, you know, worried about something or, you know, want to be, you know, sometimes you just aren't and you want to be in the moment with your kids or with your family. And it's a great, such a great phrase to come back to.
It is a good reminder.
I love that. Yeah, I had to, the other piece of us, both for grownups and as we're teaching our kids and younger people as well, I went on a retreat this last weekend and had to go without this. No phone, no electronics, no nothing. And we talked about that exact thing, be where your feet are. And boy, it's tougher in a digital world, is it not?
It is. I absolutely agree 100%. I have to physically, mentally put a barrier between me and my phone. I don't do a smartwatch. It's just a Fitbit for those exact purposes because I'm too connected already.
There you go.
There's got to be some law, as they say in Tombstone. You know, you got to have some law.
There you go. Well, so spinning that question around, Emily, what is something that you like to share with or advise to your team, your folks?
My favorite catchphrase, which I'm sure other managers here get tired of hearing, is how are we setting others up for success? Mm-hmm. Anytime we start a new initiative or anything like that, but how are we setting them up for success? I feel like I've been blessed to stand on the shoulders of giants, and I'm going to pass that forward any way possible. So how are we setting others up for success?
Love that. So great. And Emily, I know that you carry that out. You don't just say that. Yeah.
I try to be where my feet are, right?
There you go. There you go. Weaving all this together. That's right. Well, Emily, how can people get in touch with you if they'd love to just banter ideas with you or get in touch with you otherwise?
Easy. My contact information, cell phone number, email is on the bank website, which is communityspirit.bank, or all the social channels. Just look for the Blonde Banker.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Love it. And I would encourage people to do so because you're a lot of fun to follow and engage with. So
I appreciate that. This has been a lot of fun, guys. Thank y'all so much.
Very good.
A really enjoyable conversation. Thanks for making the time.
Absolutely.
Been great to have you. Thanks so much, Emily.
Thanks for joining us. To go deeper or get access to some of the valuable nuggets from today's show, go to bankmarketingshow.com. There you'll find episodes, links to resources, and much more. Be sure to subscribe wherever you find your podcasts. And join us next time.